Hello and welcome to Under the Microscope, KBAA's weekly look at stories in health, science, and technology. I'm Kyle Diaz. More and more families are depending on the National School Lunch Program to feed their children. Next year, the federal government will hand down new guidelines for the nutritional makeup of school lunches, which are notoriously unhealthy. But those guidelines have hit a big roadblock, and its name is Congress. Harvest Public Media's Clay Masters has this story.
Under buzzing fluorescent lights, hungry students at Clinton Elementary School in Lincoln, Nebraska, finished their school lunches.
I ate cheese bread. I'm gonna drink my milk. I ate my fruits, tater tots.
I had a barbecue riblet with a banana and tater tots and chocolate milk.
That's third graders Ajron Baxter and Levi Leon. 93% of the students here at Clinton Elementary qualify for free or reduced-priced lunches based on family income levels. And the staff understands the importance of sound nutrition. If the children don't get it here, they may not get it at all. Across the country, more families are depending on schools for their children's meals. Kevin Concannon is the Undersecretary for Food and Nutrition Services at USDA.
In this extended jobs recession, we're seeing an increase in the number of children in schools receiving that free and reduced price lunch.
This adds to the significance of any change to the nutritional requirements in the National School Lunch Program, which serves almost 32 million students a day. The Obama administration has been pushing to improve nutritional standards, but revisions proposed by the U.S. Department of Agriculture were blocked by Congress last month through a spending bill. Some argue it was because of lobbyists working for food producers. Again, Food and Nutrition Services Undersecretary Kevin Concannon.
It's very frustrating because what it means is it's an example of money and influence and special interest trumping science and health on behalf of children.
New school lunch guidelines are still coming, and Concannon calls them rigorous. But still, the original proposal would have required increased portions of fruits, vegetables, and whole grains, cut back on starchy vegetables like potatoes and peas, gradually decreased sodium. Well, sodium will still be cut, but just not as much. And there's an issue that's getting a lot of media attention, allowing tomato paste, aka pizza, to still qualify as a vegetable serving. Concannon says the final regulations will come out near the beginning of next year. But Edith Zumwalt isn't too worried about having to make a lot of changes. She's the director of nutrition services for Lincoln Public Schools. She says her school district has already increased fresh fruits and vegetables in meals, but she was a bit skeptical of the guidelines as originally proposed.
Would they be beneficial? I think they certainly have some benefits to them.
She says the requirements would have cost 15 cents more per lunch. And with shorter lunch periods becoming more common, she was concerned that larger portions would mean more food in the trash.
You're always having to make decisions about what to eat. And we can do the best job at school feeding kids, but they've got to eat it. And so we've got to convince them that it's the right thing to eat.
So whether or not the new guidelines are as ambitious as some policymakers would like, the effectiveness will still come down to each individual school, particularly as more students line up for free and reduced-price meals. I'm Clay Masters, Harvest Public Media.
I'm Kyle Diaz, and you're listening to Under the Microscope. Margaret Donnelly is the director of the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services. The department recently launched a campaign to encourage Missourians to get the influenza vaccine. She spoke with us about the effort and about why she believes that everyone should be vaccinated against the flu. Why is it so difficult to convince people to get, you know, it seems in an ideal world like it'd be an easy proposition. Hey, do this thing and you won't get sick. But why is it such a struggle to convince people to get vaccinated?
People often underestimate the flu. They think that, oh, it'll just be kind of a cold and I'll get through it. But the flu can be a very serious illness. It is particularly hard on certain vulnerable groups such as young children, pregnant women, older people, and those with chronic health conditions. And so making certain that people understand the seriousness of flu is part of what our Tackle the Flu campaign is about. People also sometimes think that there isn't enough flu vaccine available. That is not correct. It's plentiful. they think that because they didn't get it in the early fall, it won't be effective. That's not true. You can get it anytime during flu season. Of course, earlier the better, but now is an ideal time for you to go get that flu vaccination.
I understand the flu strains that are around at this time of year are similar to the ones that are around last time of year, but you're still recommending people get vaccinated. Why?
Yes, we do believe that you should be vaccinated again this year, although this year's vaccine is the same protection against three viruses, which includes H1N1, as last year. The vaccine does weaken, and so it is recommended that you need it on a yearly basis to have the full protection.
Just out of curiosity, what are like vaccination levels among just like the general public? What percent of people are walking around right now vaccinated against the flu?
In Missouri, we generally are in the 20s to 30% for flu vaccine, and so that's why we really try to increase that vaccination rate. As I have said, the recommendation is that everyone over the age of 6 months should get the flu vaccine. I think that people don't also take into consideration the fact that the flu vaccine is important for us also from basically just having a strong state economically and to be sure that children are getting the full benefit of their education. There's one study that estimates that approximately 38 million school days are lost each year to the flu for children. In addition, we know that lost work days for an employee because that employee is ill or perhaps children are ill makes a difficult situation not only for the employee but the employer, but also just is lost productivity. One of the other important things to remember is when you are vaccinated against the flu, you're protecting not only yourself but also your family, your friends, and your coworkers. And that's also important that you're protecting these vulnerable populations. So the less flu that is circulating, the better off the entire population. So when you receive your flu vaccine, you are helping to be sure that not just you, but the others around you are protected.
That's Under the Microscope. I'm Kyle Diaz. Thanks so much for listening. You can find these stories and many more on kbia.org.